Welcome to my podcast, The School of Humanity, and the seventh episode on why we cannot ask for help, the taboo of seeking psychosocial support in the AIDS sector. I'm Marika, your host, humanitarian globetrotter and international speaker, and excited that you're tuning in. Ever felt you wanted to disappear from the face of the earth because you embarrassed yourself so badly? A humanitarian aid worker replied to a Happy New Year all staff email from the counselor asking her for counseling support during the COVID-19 related lockdown. The email went to everyone. How embarrassing. But why do we actually feel this way? Why is it such a taboo to ask for help? The COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting economic recession have negatively impacted people's mental health. In the United States alone, about 4 in 10 adults reported symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorder because of COVID, up from 1 in 10 adults who reported these symptoms in 2019. As the pandemic wears on, ongoing and necessary public health measures expose many people to experiencing situations linked to poor mental health outcomes, such as isolation and job loss. And this is where my next guest comes in, who wrote this very email. Umneya Makhlouf has been working with the United Nations World Food Programme since 2015. Originally from Egypt, she's currently working in Lebanon, where she supports the emergency response to the national fuel crisis. And she could also set up her own band as she plays the guitar, piano, and sings. Umneya, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Marika. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you wrote that email that went to all staff seeking help from a staff counselor. But instead of, you know, being embarrassed and, you know, wanting to disappear maybe in the very first instant from the face of the earth, you decided to go all out with your story in various social platforms that you needed help. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, for starters, I would like to say that I did feel like I wanted to disappear off the face of the earth at first. It was a quite tormenting experience. I was trying to recall the message from my phone for about 15 minutes until my friend came in and saved the day and helped me recall it from her laptop. So that whole period was really tormenting. A lot of people were writing to me telling me, you know, you've sent this message by mistake. Can you recall it? And I had disclosed in that email that I had recently contracted COVID and that I had broken up with my partner and that I was generally feeling unwell, but that I was seeking support and trying to recover and do better with my mental health. And I attempted to handle it a bit gracefully by apologizing to everyone and saying, you know, how ironically that it is a great start to the year, but that, you know, I hope everyone would have a good week. So I ended up receiving a lot of messages of support, in fact, from colleagues who are saying that they're facing the same issues. You know, we all go through personal problems and we all go through hectic periods, especially in the context of COVID, as you've mentioned, and that they were there to support me. And if I needed anything, that they would be there. And so I decided to write a LinkedIn post to break those barriers, as you've mentioned, so that I would feel unashamed for asking for help and hopefully inspire others to do the same. And in that post, I explained what had happened. And I was, much to my surprise, throughout a week, I received countless comments. I think there was over 3,500 likes of people really encouraging humanitarians, especially, to reach out and stop feeling ashamed of asking for help. And I was so inspired by this. It really broke down my own barriers, my mental barriers, my emotional barriers of feeling like we shouldn't be so public about our issues. And I think that there is a culture in the humanitarian field that perpetuates this idea that we're invincible, that we're warriors, you know, who have all kinds of diplomatic immunity and connections that protect us from the woes of this world. And I really think that we let that rhetoric get to our heads and we started to believe it ourselves, when at the end of the day, we're all human and we face all kinds of challenges. We face struggles at work when people don't like us or disagree with us. Our egos get bruised by incidents with colleagues, supervisors, etc. And more than that, we face daily issues in our personal lives, heartbreak and health issues in my case, basic logistical issues, assimilation into new countries with new weather when we move around so much. And then, of course, just being overwhelmed with taking care of our families and at the same time taking care of other people's families through our humanitarian work. And I think that that rhetoric has really defined our ability to separate between when is it okay for you to go and seek that kind of support? And when should you be that warrior who's there in the field combating all kinds of crises around the world?
That is a powerful concept that we are, right? We as humanitarians, it's even our job to help others. So how can we suddenly be in that position that we actually kind of, we need help? And then, as you said, it's, I think, completely normal that sometimes we do face challenges. We're also exposed constantly to difficult issues. Our job cannot be always fun because we're dealing with alleviating people from poverty. We're working in conflict zones. And on top of that, we have our own personal challenges. So I find it just very powerful that, you know, you actually really decided to go all out with seeking support. And then you said, actually, like, there were so many people who came forward and said, hey, me too, like, I struggled, I need help. And that you were then such an inspiration to so many people, and 3,500 likes, and really shows that there is such a big need for people to talk about it, to seek help. And while we do have that taboo somehow, or that perception that we actually need to be the tough ones and we are helping others, so how can we seek help? So I was wondering, in your journey, just to, you know, for someone who's listening in and wondering, am I at a tipping point? Is this normal? You know, am I stressed? Is this a normal level of stress? Like, what would you say was for you, like, your tipping point to decide, okay, this is too much. Like, this is, you know, now I would need help. Like, how can we learn from your experience to say, okay, this is like, this is really a point in my life right now where, you know, it would be healthy to get support from a counselor?
I think for me, when my health really started to get impacted by the level of stress I was under, I think COVID hit me really hard. I had the worst symptoms possible. I had all of them, actually, between a fever, a sore throat, a cough, headaches. I wasn't able to breathe. I was almost hospitalized, but thankfully I somehow managed to get out of it. And I think that I had been vaccinated, both shots, both doses, yet the virus really hit me hard. And that was an indicator for me at the level of stress I was under. And not just that, I really felt my behaviors were changing. I was less kind at work. I was less tolerant. I was frustrated and flustered. My sleep was starting to get impacted. And of course, adding to that, you know, heartbreak after having broken up with my partner, it was quite devastating for me. And so when I realized that I don't have my life in order as well as I'd like to have it, I recognized at that point in time that I need to seek professional help. And although I do consistently have therapy sessions, my therapist at the time actually had taken her Christmas leave. And so I was searching for another outlet. And I think it just came on time when the staff counselor sent us a Happy New Year email. And he himself, as a humanitarian, was very vulnerable in his email by telling us that, you know, he recognizes that we're all struggling because of COVID, because of the situations that we're facing. And he was very he was very honest in his email about how we should open up. And I think he's quite inspirational himself, where he's really trying to encourage people to talk by just discussing these vulnerabilities, maybe not himself as a professional counselor, but being so open as to say, I know you guys are going through a rough time. I know it's a difficult context to work in, being in Lebanon with, you know, clashes breaking out at any moment, electricity outages, a lot of political turmoil, a lot of impact from the economic crisis. And he encouraged people themselves through his words to really reach out. And I felt in that moment that that was a sign for me that I should reach out to him. And I think that that also taught me that if I do the same for other colleagues by talking about the issue and opening up that conversation, not necessarily always exposing myself, but exposing the topic of vulnerability, you find people become more forthcoming. It just takes a little nudge, I think.
That is true, because I feel like when you are coming forward, then just being vulnerable, like it doesn't have to be, you know, as you said, something maybe you don't have to expose yourself, or it should also feel comfortable how much you expose yourself. But just to talk about it, to say, wow, I had a really, you know, difficult weekend. I was stuck at home. I felt really down. Like, you know, I, you know, like just things like that. And I think the numbers I've also talked about in the beginning, we should also really think about that it's really normal. Like if we think that COVID has increased from 1 in 10 to 4 in 10 adults that have like severe symptoms such as depressive disorder, I think it's really something that we should think about more, like how COVID really impacted us and how already as a humanitarian you are away from your normal duty station, you're away from your family, you've come to a country that is, you know, not easy to live in, and you don't have a normal social support network that, you know, you build your relationships with people, you need to find new friends. So how are you doing that in a pandemic that creates these issues around isolation? So I think we should also really think about more what this pandemic has really done to all of us, on top of, I think, our normal challenges that we have as part of the job. And I think what I also really thought was powerful, what you said, and I can totally relate to that, I think all of us, is we don't investigate our coping mechanisms unless the crisis comes along. We don't really think, okay, if life sometimes hits you hard and you said, you know, there was COVID, you broke up with your partner at that time. So a lot of things happen. And I think that's when, you know, sometimes life pulls the rug under us, but we don't really, when things go somehow well, we don't really look at us and say, okay, how do I actually cope in crisis? Do I have positive coping mechanisms? Do I have a morning routine that already reduces stress? So I think what you're saying is really powerful and should really keep us thinking about how we deal with stress. So this leads me actually really already to my next question. Like when you look at yourself from before, you know, you had COVID and then you had, you know, your personal issues in your personal life to deal with, what can you advise someone from your experience? What are you doing differently now just to, you know, reduce already stress, live a little bit more of a balanced life with all what's happening around us? Yeah.
Well, I actually, to get to that, I want to touch on a point that you mentioned, which is that, you know, COVID has created a lot of mental health issues. That's very true. But I will also look at it from a positive perspective in the sense that globally, I feel during the first wave of COVID, we all got together and we all were vulnerable together. At least that's what I was seeing in my personal life, but also on social media. You know, people were becoming very public about what they're facing and the struggles that they're going through. The single person was lonely. The married person with kids was overwhelmed and stressed of having to homeschool. And we weren't comparing our woes. We were living with each other, feeling for each other, being supportive of each other, recognizing that we each had our struggles. And there was something so human about that that was really beautiful. And in the process, we taught each other what these coping mechanisms should be or could be. depending on your interests and what suits you as a person. I really feel that those first 6 months of 2020, they really made a difference in creating a global community that shares the issues of mental health. But somehow, somewhere along the way, I think we forgot. We forgot that it's not just COVID that's bringing about all of these mental health issues. We have underlying personal problems. We have underlying work issues. We have health issues. We have all sorts of things that are not just surrounding COVID. COVID maybe magnified them, but they're there. But when the wave was over, it was as if we forgot what we learned. And that was a shame, in my view. We forgot how to be a global community because life was getting, quote unquote, back to normal. We forgot what it meant to be tolerant with each other. We forgot what it meant to be there and be supportive, because now we're trying to get back to our old life when I believe we should be moving forward to a new life, but keeping the things that we've learned during the pandemic. So in my case, I really, really rely on my music for sure. I play guitar, I play piano, I sing. During the lockdown, I was in Italy. I was stuck in Rome, which is where I'm based originally. And I was stuck there for 6 months. And if I didn't have my piano or my guitar, I don't know what I would have done. I was also starting yoga. I took photography sessions. I did all kinds of things. I improved my Italian. And I learned how to do those things even this time around, focusing on the things that I love, the things that light a fire in me. So speaking to the people I love, even if I have no updates, but just generating conversations with them, talking about different topics about life. For me as well, my faith really helps me because I'm a Muslim woman and I am a woman of faith. I do practice my religion, and that has helped me a lot in seeking comfort in the will of God, and also just this finding spirituality in all of this, meditating religiously or otherwise, finding some solace in understanding why things happen the way they do, why the universe has a particular plan for you. And just sitting with myself and taking that break and reflecting on what I've learned in terms of my coping mechanisms and what else I can learn through the hardships of life and how I can share that with other people. And how I can be vulnerable with other people and how I can encourage them and hopefully inspire them to do the same. So those were some of the things that I used as and continue to use as my various coping mechanisms, especially in a context where you're isolated, when your options aren't quite limited. But when you sit with yourself and reflect on who you want to be out of hardship, I think that's really what kept me going and keeps me going.
I think you shared such a beautiful message that that we really truly forgot, because I think COVID was one of the few experiences that really affected all of us without any difference in where we live, where we come from, what we do. And it's true, we came really together, and nurses shared how they're exhausted, mothers shared pictures with kids running around, Zoom calls with people walking through. And I think what I also love what you said, which I can also totally relate, it sounds like it's something negative, like therapy, I do counseling. But actually what you're also saying is when we look inward, we focus again on the things we love. Like you went and played music, you meditated, you found, also strength in religion or spirituality for other people. So I think that's also a powerful concept to really think through. It's actually the way we reduce stress, or the way we better cope with life, is actually find joy in the things we love, discovering kind of a little bit, as you said, ourselves, and rethinking actually, what do I love doing and what brings me joy and what maybe I've neglected with all the stress and the, the hamster wheel we sometimes get into. So yeah, beautiful, beautiful message and great reminder of how we actually really came together in a community and how we should actually really take that forward. I also wanted to get a sense from you You know, some people think when you're in the humanitarian sector, any job for that matter, actually, that, you know, and you touched upon that already, like seeking help is something weak. Like it means you can't deal with the challenges in your life, maybe with the challenges of your job, you're not tough enough. So how has your experience, but what can we learn, or what would you like to share from your experience?
Well, that's a really good question. Because personally, I'm sometimes seen as a tough woman. I'm quite feisty. I have a lot of energy, and I think hopefully I have a reputation of being effective. Although some might sometimes call me difficult, but I think a lot of women in the humanitarian sector face that problem. I was worried when that email went out. I myself was afraid of the way people would perceive me as vulnerable and weak. But like I said, I wanted to break down those barriers of being ashamed of feeling and being human. So I wrote that post on LinkedIn, telling the very story that I felt embarrassed about. And it became a therapeutic mechanism to publicize my vulnerability and encourage others to do the same. I mean, I think we all need to lead more by example and show our humanity more, because this won't just help us deal with our personal issues, you know, to be more accepting, tolerant, supportive of others who face those challenges. Because, I mean, ultimately, you have to be kind to yourself so that you can be kind to others. And if we all did a little bit more of that, the humanitarian world, and I'm emphasizing humanitarian because of the word humanity, this would be much more effective and amplified, and it would be much more inspirational in the world. So my point is, you know, even if it's helping us deal with our personal issues, but it's also impacting our beneficiaries, the people we serve, because we're then showing them that we're not just heroes who have no kryptonite. On the contrary, some of our own staff are former refugees or displaced people. They face war, famine, economic crisis, natural disasters. And I'm always asking myself, why are we so afraid, worried, ashamed of feeling what regular people feel simply because we serve people in need or people in, you know, what some would call horribly worse conditions than ours? Why is it that we minimize our professional and personal struggles in the face of quote unquote real struggles? But what's come up more often now is that we're actually all thinking the same thing. We need a safe space to be able to express our worries, doubts, insecurities, and fears without feeling like they're undeserved or unjustified because other people are worse off. And so this idea of being not tough enough, yes, it's true, our jobs are challenging. Yes, it's true, you need to have thick skin to be a humanitarian, because what we face in conflict zones, and I really feel for those people who are, you know, in areas of the world that are much worse than where I am, like in Lebanon. I mean, there are our level 3 emergencies that are, you know, in remote locations in what we call the bush, that people really do face struggles. And sometimes the organization has to pull them out of there because it's too hard. And we never want our staff to get to that point because they have to be tough. That's not fair. You need your people who are serving other people to be at the healthiest possible levels that they can be, because that pressure of being tough or tough enough, that will actually make us break. And so it's true that there needs to be a minimum standard of your ability to cope in tough situations, but dehumanizing people who go through tough environments or personal issues, especially ones related to health, which we've seen across the board, I think that needs to change. That culture needs to change. And personally, you know, when I first arrived to Rome, I really struggled because I had been moving for the first time in my life away from my family. We had lived abroad our entire lives, but I was always with my family. This was my first time that I was alone in a country where I struggled as well, because I'm a woman who wears a headscarf in a country that is not always very accepting of that kind of representation of religion. And so it was tough for me, and it was a new job and a really, really tough learning curve as well in my job. And I got sick and I had to fly home. I got a virus and I had to fly home, and I was so worried. Oh, what are they going to think of me? They're going to think that I'm not tough enough. They're going to think I'm weak. I can't handle this job. I can't handle this environment. 5 years later, it doesn't matter. I'm glad I went home and took care of myself. And I was even more glad that I had a supervisor who was unbelievably supportive and understanding that this was a tough experience for me. And he knew that if he helped me invest in my own mental health and physical health, that I would produce much better results for the organization if I felt supported, loved, and if people were kind with me. And surely enough, 2 years later, I ended up getting a fixed term because I did well in my job. And that says something, that when the environment around you doesn't pressure you to be too tough on yourself, then you will thrive.
I think you're touching on, I feel, two incredibly important aspects. One is that actually being vulnerable means that you seek help at the right time, be that to say, okay, I need a week holiday to reconnect with my family, to take some time off. And then that also means that because you take care of yourself, you know when to you know, hit the stop button to seek help, then you are also, you're happy, you perform better, you know, you really contribute more. So I think it's that wrong assumption that we have when we're tough, then we get stuff done. And actually, it's not like that. And your experience, what you just mentioned, really shows, no, when we take care of ourselves, when we feel good, when we're happy, that's also when we're at our best and we really perform well, and not being close to, you know, risking burnout. And then the second fascinating issue that you brought is the impact we have on the communities we serve. So if we are tough, then we can even not relate to the communities because they are struggling, and we're coming in to fix things and help them, and might not even show compassion. And we lose the connection actually to do the very job. We might even, because when you risk burnout, then you feel that the problem is too big to solve. You're frustrated, you're resentful. So that also then has implications on the way we interact with communities, the way we talk to them, the way we relate to them. So this is so critical, especially for humanitarians, but really anyone who deals with, be that with clients that they have in their jobs or in the care sector. If you lose that compassion for the very people that you're here to serve, then you know it's important to reflect and take some time off and to invest in yourself. So I think that these are really powerful new ways of looking towards seeking help, rather than just saying, okay, I need help and it's you know, I'm weak. But it's really something that impacts your entire life and the job you do. And this unfortunately brings me to the last question that we have. It was wonderful, inspirational conversation with you already. So imagine it is your last day on earth. You have now the opportunity to leave us with one final advice. What would that be?
Oh, wow. What a tough question. I think I would say, trust yourself, trust your experiences. We're all a function of our experiences in life. Trust those around you who love you and who you love. Confide in them. Understand that there's a human in everyone, despite the layers that we cover ourselves with. We are still at our very core all the same. We are still people who face the array and the rainbow of emotions. and fears and struggles that we all do. And you have to trust that there's a reason the universe has brought you to where you are, and you're supposed to play a role in making things happen and making changes. But you need to make changes in yourself and be kind to yourself and trust your own process before you can serve others, in the humanitarian world at least. But I do believe that we're all here to serve other people one way or the other, whether you're a parent or a friend or a colleague. We have a purpose on earth, and if we don't seek to find the humanity within us, we will never find it in others. And life is so much better when we all feel a little bit more human when we're together. And I think COVID has really taught us that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful message, to be more human, especially as you mentioned, we are humanitarians. And it is really a set of values and way of living to be human. And to be human means also, as you said, like the rainbow of emotions that we all have. You know, sometimes we feel sad, sometimes we feel frustrated, sometimes we're happy, and we're always stronger together than being apart or just pretend that you know, we're tough and we don't need help. That's just really, I think we all know that this is never a reality. And I think your powerful story that you went out on LinkedIn really shows there's such big need for people to feel, actually, I think with your message, to really feel, wow, you know, like I also have this problem. I'm not alone. And I think the more we talk about it, as you said, the more we feel like, yeah, there's so many people who struggle, who have issues. And through those conversations, we're all connected in our humanity and being humans, that, yeah, we sometimes are vulnerable. But as you said, there is power in that vulnerability that we can share with each other. So thanks so much for joining the podcast. It's been wonderful to have that conversation with you and to learn really from your experience, and that you will continue to be an inspiration, I think, for many that will listen in and hear your story. So thanks for joining today.
Thanks so much, Marika. Honestly, it was really you who's inspirational for going out there and creating these podcasts. So I really encourage people to get out there and do the same and be vocal about vulnerabilities and mental health issues. And it's really been an honor and a pleasure to join you today.
Thanks so much. So yeah, for everyone who's listening in today, you can find this podcast on my website, marikagudarian.com. It's also available on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, where I host these monthly podcasts with inspiring guests from all around the world, straight to your living room. And you can also catch up on the previous wonderful episodes with my guests. So thanks again for listening in, and until next month when we meet again. Bye, everyone.